You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you know that your word, you know that your word is life-changing. And Father, I pray that you would do something in each of our lives tonight with your word, and we would get a revelation from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I was the other day, I was just having a bit of a chat with one of my mates, and he's a dad of a 10-year-old boy, and I've got a 10-year-old boy, and we were just talking about the things of being a dad and being a parent, and we just began this discussion, and he was talking about, this is really deep, but he was talking about how many Nerf guns his son's got. He said his son's got something like 7 or 8 Nerf guns. And he's going, what is that about? He's got 7 or 8 Nerf guns and he wants more than 7 or 8 Nerf guns. And he just wants more and more. And he said, what is that about? And I said, well, my kids have got lots of guns too. They've got boxes full of guns. And I don't understand why they need that many guns. Why do they want that many guns and yet they want more guns? More and more guns. And he said, yeah, the other day he was saying the Blackers have got more guns and they've got 3 boys and I should have more guns like the Blackers have got more guns. And we're going, what is this whole thing? And then it got deep. Then it got really deep. What is this thing about kids wanting more and more and more stuff, wanting more and more and more when they don't actually need it? And we began to just talk a little bit about, you know, we got off the kids thing and we decided that that's obviously got something to do with us as fathers, because we always want more stuff, and it's a, you know, a bit of a reflection on us and on the world. And so it's really interesting when I get onto the subject in a minute, the pattern of this world, when we read Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. It is amazing how much we have conformed to the pattern of this world in our lives. It is just incredible. As Christians, it's amazing how much we have conformed to the pattern of this world. And so much so that it's like the frog in the water that's just slowly but surely being heated up and it doesn't even realise. But sometimes we need to actually take stock of where we're at and how much we've actually conformed to the pattern. And we're so happy with where we're at in terms of our lives that we just continue to get heated up like that frog in the pot that just gets hotter and hotter and it doesn't even realise. And on reflection of our discussion, I just looked at current times and where things are at and what's become acceptable in this world. And we had Paul a couple of weeks ago sharing about Emily's voice and just some of the staggering statistics on abortion and how slowly but surely over time it has become just acceptable in this world. And, you know, you've got people out there that their whole life is anxiety. They've got worry and anxiety. You've got people out there that are just not satisfied with what they have and they want more and more and more. There's never enough. You've got people that are chasing unreal or unreachable dreams through what they see and what they read, and it's not based on anything that's of God. It's based on what they see around them. And it's almost like they chase these unreal or unreachable dreams. You've got substance abuse out there and you've got addictions out there. And, you know, we're an impatient people and we often live by feelings. And it all kind of connects in to this pattern of the world. And I don't think that's the way God had intended things to be. I don't think God intended people to have anxiety. I don't think he intended that. I don't think he intended for there to be that many abortions currently. I don't think that God intended for people to be addicted to so many substances or addicted to things like pornography. I don't think God intended that, and he didn't want that for this world. But, you know, he gives us a picture and he gives us an option of not conforming to the pattern of this world. And, you know, we know where it comes in. We know how it happens because right from the beginning there was an accuser of the brethren and someone who deceived very early on. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be well balanced." This is in the Amplified version. "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." Graham touched on this morning. We don't need to fear the devil. And he's not a lion. There's only one lion, and that's the Lion of Judah. He is the only roaring lion. This scripture says, sometimes this scripture is quoted as, you know, be fearful of a roaring lion. He is a deceiver of the brethren. And he is not a lion. He is like a lion. And he pretends to be a lion. He pretends to be a lot of things to scare people and to deceive people into doing things that they're not created to do and that they're not created to be. So when you ever hear this scripture again, don't ever think that the devil is a lion, because he's not. There's only one lion, and that's the Lion of Judah, who was slain before the foundation of the world for you and I, and who has conquered death and hell. So let's be clear about that. So it says be cautious, be balanced, be vigilant at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams like a roaring lion. But we've got something greater in our hands, in our hearts, and in the power that we live, in which we can live by. Now, I've been doing a little bit of a study over the last few months on Israel's camp and the way Israel set up their camp. And it really is an interesting picture of how God intends our lives to be lived out. And I've just got a few little things tonight about the camp of Israel that can show us a pattern, which is the ulterior pattern to the pattern of this world, that God wants us to live out and live by, that can help us not to conform to the pattern and give us a clear picture of where he wants us to be at. Numbers 2 says this. Numbers 2 verse 2 says this. "The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. The Israelites will put up their tents with each family under the flag that symbolizes its household. They will put their tents around the tent of meeting," which is the tabernacle, "facing it." And then I'm going to skip straight to verse 34, and it says this. "So the Israelites did everything as the Lord had commanded Moses. They set up camp under their flags, and each person travelled with his own family and household." Now, if we can just flick to that first picture, Luke. I was trying to get some pictures of Israel's camp off the net, and there's a picture of this, obviously, of the tabernacle in the middle, and the cloud and the fire coming from the tabernacle, and there's the tents that surround the tabernacle and the way Israel set up camp. Now, there's lots of details, but basically, I'll show you another picture in a sec, but I just want you to have a look at that. This was virtually a movable city. We're not talking just some small camp set up. We're talking about, I think the Bible talks about around about 600,000 people in this camp that they used to move from place to place. And so they would have had to be very well organised in their camp. But it is just an amazing picture of the way Moses, God instructed Moses, of how things were to be set up and how they planned their camp. And, you know, as we see the tabernacle on the tent of meeting in the middle. They said that they should set up under flags that symbolised their household. They said that the tents should be around the tent of meeting, facing inwards to the tent of meeting. And it's a picture for us of Christ revealed in the old for our life. And it's a picture of how we live. So it's Christ being revealed and the way he wants, God wants us to live, that, you know, we see in the new, but it comes out in the old in just a beautiful picture. So if we can go to just that next picture, Luke. This is a kind of an older type, but that's more of an over. You see the tabernacle in the middle and you see the tribes around the outside broken, you know, obviously into families. And there was basically set up in the north, south, east and west. And I'm not going to get into the details of the different tribes. And it just gives you an idea of the way they set up camp and the way they did life. But there were five things that I had tonight that were observations of this camp. Now, there could be other observations. These aren't the ultimate observations, but there are five things that I just wanted to quickly go through tonight, which are five observations about Israel camp. The first one is it was simple. The second one is it was structured. Third one, it was centered and focused. The fourth is that it was guided. And the fifth, it was provided for. And they're really important things for us that are life applications for us. When you think of that, and I'll go through each one in a minute, living a simple life, a structured life, as much as structure sometimes does my head in, it's good for us at times, a centered and focused life, a guided life, and a life that is provided for. And they're really important things. So let's just work our way through these things. And when you consider what I started with that scripture of don't conform to the pattern of this world, well, this is God's pattern. And this is Jesus Christ revealed in the old as he shows us in the new. And there's so many beautiful pictures in the Old Testament, but this is just one of them. Okay, so the first one is a simple life. It's not complicated. Okay. When we went camping last week, we went to the Murray and we set up camp, and I don't think we've got a complicated campsite. We've just got a camper trailer, and you know, we had a fire and we had a little barbecue outside and the kids were riding bikes and we had a dog running around. But it wasn't that complicated. It wasn't hard to deal with and hard to cope with. And we're going through past some of these other sites, and some guys had generators, they had these high-powered lights, they had all these gadgets, and I reckon they needed trucks to get their stuff in to get things set up for their camp. And, you know, in terms of our life, God intended us to have a simple life. And there was this awesome scripture, which is, it varies in the different versions of Bibles, but Proverbs 13:7 says this. It says, a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. Keep life plain and simple. How many things do we have or are we involved with? How much stuff have we got that we don't need? Have you ever tried to simplify or declutter your life with possessions, with the things that you do, with the things that you watch? Have you ever taken stock and gone back and gone, okay, God, is it necessary for me to be doing all this stuff, to own all this stuff? And some of them can be quite noble. Some things can be quite good. But sometimes we need space in our life to allow God to speak into our life. And I just think it's, you know, it's really important that we, at times we go and we go, okay, I'm going to take an order to my life and I'm going to make sure that I'm not overloaded with stuff. So I've got time to spend time with my Father in heaven who loves me and he can speak to me. A couple of weeks ago, we've had an issue in our house for a while now. Our study's been a little bit of a mess. And we've had trouble with our study. We have had numerous times Claudia's sister's come over to try and help clean up this study. She's come over during the week to try and help clean up this study. And we've never got on top of it. There's one thing that we've got lots of in the study, and that's lots of piles of papers in the study. Piles of papers everywhere. And you just don't want to go in the study. You don't want to go in there because you know the thing you're looking for is going to be at the bottom of the last pile that you pick up, and even then you're going to pass through it because you're so sick of going through so many other piles of papers that you'll never find what you're looking for. And so we said, righto, that's it, we're going to deal with this study. And we dealt with it. And it's clean. We can actually walk in the door, and we can walk in, we can open the doors. You can actually, when you have people over, you can have the doors open so people can look into the study and they can look like it's okay. And the things that have been filed where they need to go, and the things that need to be thrown out have been thrown out. But it's so much easier to operate in our house with this study sorted out. It's easier. It's lighter. And sometimes we have so much stuff, so many piles, so many things that we've got in our lives that are just piled up that we either haven't dealt with. There could be things in our life that have been sitting there for years that we've neglected to deal with. And God wants us to clean our lives out of whether it's possessions, whether it's hurts, whether it's attitudes. He wants us to continually go through and simplify our life because he knows it's easier for us. A pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. It allows you to move because it's easy to move when God calls you to move in your life. You can hear God clearer when it's a simple life. Okay, so the second thing is structured. And when I was looking at this word structured, with all these words, one of the things that I did was I tried to find an opposite so we can see the negative side of what these things are. So the things that I found for structured, the opposites of, were unregulated or unstable. When things aren't structured, they're unregulated or unstable. Now, when something's unstable, it's not healthy. And, you know, one of the things the Christian life does is it brings boundaries for us. And we need boundaries. Our dog that we've had for a couple of years now, She's a good dog, but she's a strong-willed dog. She's got a little bit of collie in her, and that's the strong-willed part. The Labrador part is not strong-willed at all. It just wags its tail and does whatever it wants to in terms of, you know, smiling at you and making sure it's okay. But it needs boundaries. And one of the things that we found with our dog, that when we've been put solid boundaries around her, she has been easier to deal with, and she's a happier dog. And when we go away, like when we go camping, because we put those boundaries around her, she's easy to deal with. She's easy to take in the car. Now, that doesn't mean she's perfect. She's far from perfect, but she's easy to deal with. But if I've only got to just do a slight little growl, like a oi, like that, and she is immediately wanting to make sure she's okay. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way God is, because he's not that way. But she knows where she stands in our house. She doesn't have to try and be the boss because she has boundaries around her. Now, she becomes difficult to deal with when she thinks she's the boss. And so often that's the way in our life. You know, the Bible says that the God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we think we've got to be boss of our life, then things aren't structured because they're not in order. If we submit to God, things are in order, they're structured. So you notice that, can we go back to the second picture, Luke? Is that all right? That doesn't cause you too much grief? So the second picture, that they were in households and families and tribes. And so God had them, you know, kind of all together. And it's interesting in Colossians 2:5, sorry, skipping back there, Luke, he says this, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And it's an interesting picture in the New Testament about how things are in good order. And, you know, in our lives, in our family lives, in our personal lives, when things are in good order, it certainly does make a difference. And so, you know, it was a structured setup. Okay, third thing. It was centred and focused. The opposite of centred and focused is scattered and out of focus. You know, the Israelites were never, ever defeated when they were in this formation. The tent of meeting or the tabernacle was at the centre, and all the tents faced to the centre. They weren't facing the outside, worried about the enemies and what was going on. God had called them to face to the centre. They weren't worried about the peripheral things in life. They were worried about the centre. They were worried about the tabernacle, and they were told to face the tabernacle. Now, you'd think that if armies were going to come and attack, that they would have the tents facing the other way, outward, worried about the enemies that were around. But God had them face to the centre. Now, it's really important that our lives are focused and centred on what matters. Facing towards the tabernacle, which represents everything about Christ. Every part of what's in the tabernacle, and, you know, we've had teaching on the tabernacle in the last 18 months, everything about the tabernacle represents something about Christ. And, you know, Graham mentioned this morning, and it's something that we've touched on a little bit, is, you know, he said, knowing who we are in Christ is such an important thing. Knowing who we are in Christ is knowing the truth. The Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We are set free by knowing the truth. You know that scripture of seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and it says, and all these things will be added unto you. I think that can be read in a couple of different ways. But let me just give you an understanding. It says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It doesn't say to seek our righteousness. It says to seek his righteousness. We can only be righteous, not through our own deeds, but through what Christ has done. And when we face towards the tabernacle, or we're centred on Christ, we begin to know who we are in Christ as long as we have the correct understanding. Once we know this, once we know who we are in Christ, we stop striving and begin to see all the things we have in Christ. We also begin to live out of relationship rather than obligation, rules and regulation. In the tabernacle, the mercy seat is in the ark on top of the Ten Commandments. God knowing that we will live his way out of our relationship with him. God desires us to live his way with his pattern. And the mercy seat takes away our sin, and we live his way above the Ten Commandments. Nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, but it's not about rules and regulations. It's out of relationship we will read his word and we'll understand it. Out of relationship, We will pray because we know it's good for us. Out of relationship, we will come together and meet together like this, not because it's a rule, but because God knows it gives us great benefit in our lives. These things are really important, but it's out of relationship. And understand that God is wanting the best for us. We live under a better covenant now. Hebrews says we live under a better covenant, and that's meant to be out of relationship. Not because we have to, but because God wants us to live out of relationship. Okay, here's some scriptures which are awesome about being in Christ, knowing who you are in Christ. Here's some great things about being in Christ. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Okay, Ephesians 1, 4 says this. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Ephesians 1, 7 in the Amplified says this. In him we have redemption, deliverance and salvation. These are all the things that we have. Through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offences, shortcomings and trespasses in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favour. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This has become one of my favourite scriptures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You know, there are many people that don't think the old is gone, but the old has gone in Christ. And if we understand and live out knowing the old is gone, we're going to make mistakes, that's for sure. But live out of what we have in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. They're awesome scriptures in Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing those things of who we are in Christ, being centred and focused in on the tabernacle, in on Christ in our lives, knowing who we are in Christ will make a difference and will help us break the pattern of the world and live by God's pattern. Fourth thing is that we're guided. We're guided by God's pattern. Now, the opposite to guided is to be misguided or unguided. You know, generally most men, when they've got to get from point A to point B, if there's a lady sitting in the car with them and she's got the map, he says, don't worry about the map. Don't worry about it. I know which way I'm going. And even when she says, I know where I'm going. Even if it's an hour later than where they should be there, he still says, I know where I'm going because I understand I've been there before. But she's sitting there with the directions and an hour later you still haven't got there. And finally you might go, hang on, I need some of that map. I need to have a look at that map. I think I've made a wrong turn somewhere back there. But it wasn't my fault. Instructions are important for new appliances. They're really important. I don't know whether anyone here has ever got a new appliance or anything like that and opened it up and thought, yeah, I'll put this together and blown it up because they haven't read the instructions. They're really important. We need to be guided. It's important to be guided. And in this, we see in Numbers 9, 15 to 23, and we won't do that, we'll do 16 to 18. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. God gave his Spirit in the New Testament. He sent us the Helper to guide us. This is the pattern. This is the pattern in which God gave. You know, if we read a bit further, which you haven't obviously got up on the screen, whether they stayed there a lot, they could have stayed there a long time. They could have stayed there a short time. They could have stayed there only a few days. They could have gone the next morning from where they'd come. But they were guided by the cloud and the fire above the tabernacle. We need to be guided in our life. You know, I talked about clearing the clutter and stuff before. Let me ask you a question. Are you giving God the opportunity to guide you? Enough time and space to hear his voice. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." The Holy Spirit is there to guide us. This is the pattern that God has given, that they're guided by the Spirit of God. And interestingly enough, it comes from above the mercy seat, knowing who you are in Christ, guided by the Spirit. How powerful is that? That we are guided by his Spirit in everything we do. Psalm 25:12 says this, "Who then are those that fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose." Now, sometimes we don't feel like listening, and sometimes we don't feel like, you know, doing God's thing. We want to do our own thing. Let's do God's thing. Psalm 46:5 says this, "God is within her." This is talking about Israel. "God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day." Okay, fifth thing, supplied or provided for. The opposite of supplied or provided for would be taken away or withdrawn. Philippians 4:19 in the Amplified Version says this, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God says he will provide for us. Numbers 11:4-6 gives you a bit of a picture of how God provided them with food. And 4-6, "And the mixed multitude among them, the rabble who followed Israel from Egypt, began to lust greedily for familiar and dainty food. And the Israelites wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt and without cost, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions and garlic. But now our soul, our strength is dried up. There is nothing at all in the way of food to be seen but this manna." God provided them with manna and quail, and that wasn't enough. God provided it free of charge, but it wasn't enough. And I read this awesome commentary on 11 on chapter 11, verse 4. And I said at the beginning it was about the rabble. What did it say? "And the mixed multitude among them, the rabble, who followed Israel from Egypt, began to lust greatly for familiar and dainty food." Let me read you this, this commentary. "Rabble was an apt term for the non-Israelite mixed group of people who followed the Israelites out of Egypt, pointing to a recurring source of complaints and trouble in the camp. Those who did not know the Lord and his mercies incited those who did know him to rebel against him. If only we had meat to eat. As in Exodus 16, the people began to complain about their diet, forgetting what God had done for them. Certainly meat was not their common fare when they were slaves in Egypt. Now that they were in a new type of distress, the people romanticized," I've got this in bold, The people romanticised the past and minimised its discomforts. They'd come out of Egypt in slavery and they were romanticising about the good things of it, so-called good things, but minimised where it wasn't good. God had brought them into freedom. How often do we think that the world's food is better than God's food? We romanticise about some of the great things the world offers, and we minimise the dangers and the hurt and the pain that it can cause when we don't follow God's pattern. Food tasted better in slavery. It's time to let go of the past and eat of the bread of life. How many things in your life are you holding on to from slavery that God is saying it's better in the long run if you let it go, because it will bring you freedom and life? Let's live by God's pattern. Let's just have a look at those five things quickly again. Can we go right up back up to the top there, Luke, and remember which one it is? Keep going. That's the one. Five observations about Israel's camp. It was simple, not complicated. It was structured. It was centered and focused on Christ, knowing who we are in Christ. It was guided and provided for. Let us live God's pattern. Let us take those things. They're not rules and regulations. Let's look at his pattern and let's live his pattern, because he wants us to be free. And the thing that I would highlight this morning is the one at number three, and I deliberately put it there. The one in the middle is to know who you are in Christ, because that will bring more freedom to your life than you will ever know. It has to mine, and I pray that it does for yours. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you for the beautiful picture and the beautiful stories that there are in the Old Testament that reveal Christ and reveal the power that there is in living life your way. And Father, I pray for each and every person here. If there's someone here who's not sure who they are in Christ, hasn't got the freedom in Christ, I pray that tonight would be a landmark night in their life, and they would know from this night who they are in Christ and all the benefits there are, all the life-changing benefits there are to live life according to you. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray that it would never leave us, and we would be sure and we would be able to step positively into the future, knowing the pattern that you have set before us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.